On the phone with me is former Governor Mike Huckabee of Arkansas, but also a very politically minded and godly man who is on the phone with me. He's going to be the keynote speaker for the coming Focus on Life annual benefit dinner coming up on Monday night. And Governor Huckabee, I appreciate you letting me just ask you a few questions this morning.
Well, Pete, it's a pleasure, and I'm very much looking forward to being in Traverse City and the Acme area next week. And I think we're making some real strides for the sanctity of life issue, and so it's a good time to be there.
Absolutely, and with what's going on in Texas and other efforts to overturn Roe v. Wade, or at least chip away at it, it's encouraging to see that happen. Let's go a little bit back into your background. You served for 12 years as the governor of Arkansas, becoming one of the longest serving governors in its history. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, as I tell people, politics is a full contact sport played without pads. If you don't want to see the side of your own blood, don't get into any political activity. But I also learned that if we are not willing to be the salt and the light, as believers, so many people want to just sit it out, and they say, I don't want to get into political things because it's too dirty. Well, it's dirty because not enough of us have gotten into it. And I've always said, Pete, that everybody wants to eat out of a clean plate, but that means somebody's got to do the dishes.
Yeah, and that's so true. Somebody's got to do the dishes. I like that analogy. But with that experience, Governor Huckabee, we know that that gives you a little more of a up-close and personal perspective of what happens in the world. But you also were a Baptist pastor. So comparing the two experiences, being that on a political level and on a spiritual counseling level, how do you blend those together in on how you perceive the things going on around you?
I think my wife said it very well one time when she was asked about the difference. And she said, you know, when you're a pastor, people put you on a pedestal, but they really kind of want you to be there. They want you to be there. They try to keep you there. But she said, when you're in politics, they put you on a pedestal, but it's mainly as a target so they can tear you down. And there's a lot of truth in that. But I also found that everything that prepared me for the pastorate and for the role of ministry was very vital in preparing me for a life of politics. And I'll give you a few examples. I always say there's four things you got to have to be successful in either. One, you got to have a message. If you don't have something burning in your bones to say, you don't have much of a future in either politics or the ministry. Secondly, you've got to be able to motivate people to do things that they don't have to do. A pastor can't order the congregation to be the evangelist or to teach or to help with the youth choir. They can only persuade and encourage and motivate. And in politics, you can't make the legislature pass your package of legislation. You have to sit down with them and win them over. The third thing is that you've got to be able to deal in all forms of media, whether it's the use of a microphone, the printed word, radio, television, because no matter how good your message is, if you're not good at getting it out, it's not that great of a message because no one hears it. And the fourth thing, and this is a real honest one, you got to be able to raise money. You know, if you can't raise money for the church and your ministry, chances are there's going to be a real hard way of trying to get accomplished the things you want in the mission world. And in the same token, if you can't raise money for your political campaign, you aren't going to win. You just aren't going to.
Okay. Again, we're talking with former Governor Mike Huckabee of Arkansas, also was in the running for president way back in the earlier part of our century, and was able to get into that particular running. We're going to be back in with Governor Huckabee in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break as you listen into Pete in the Morning here on WLJN. You're tuned into WLJN 89.9, 107.9 FM. Pete Lathrop with you, as on the phone with me is Mike Huckabee. You've probably heard of him before. He is the host of the TV show Huckabee on TBN each weekend. as a well-known Fox News contributor, New York Times best-selling author of 12 books, been a pastor, has been a candidate for president. He was the longest-running governor of Arkansas for 12 years, from 1996 to 2007, and the list continues to go on and on and on. But I find that you are one who has a good perspective of our culture, and also with the experiences that you've gone through, have a pretty good say on some things that are going on. I know you've accepted the invitation to come up here to Traverse City for the upcoming Focus on Life benefit dinner on Monday night. And it's all about the sanctity of human life. Obviously, you have a real passion for that. How would you describe that?
The truth is, I did not become pro-life because I got into politics. I got into politics because I was pro-life and felt like that this was a cornerstone issue of our culture and civilization. Because if we are callous and indifferent to the value of every human life, if we do not value the lives that God has created, then I'm not sure how our nation even has the right to pray God's blessing upon it. So it's something that has driven me from the very essence and start of my political life. My PAC, called Huck PAC, we only support candidates who are pro-life because I just believe that it's not a peripheral issue, it's critical. And if we cannot come to grips with the value of every person, I don't care whether they're in the womb at 6 weeks or whether they are 94 years old and in long-term care. Every life has value because God gives them the value, not the government and not the culture.
That's right. I totally agree with you on that. And being that you're a grandfather, you and your wife have three grown children, six grandchildren. I'm in that club too, Mike. I have five grandchildren myself, and I know how wonderful it is. But it seems so, the whole methodology of our culture today in America and around the Western worlds is that life is expendable. If it's not convenient for you, then you can eliminate it. And they do this. I can't even describe it. But they try to powder coat the reality of a human being in the womb, and so it's just incredible. How close are we with the legislation being presented in Texas on the heartbeat bill to even becoming a viably? Addressing the whole Roe v. Wade issue?
Pete, I think we're far down the road from where we were a few years ago. I mean, there have been an enormous amount of things that have been positive. We passed everything we could in Arkansas when I was governor, but there were certain restrictions based on court cases. What's happened is science has finally gotten more sophisticated. I love it when the people on the left say, we've got to follow the science. And I'm thinking, if we really follow the science, we will stop abortion today. Because the science is pretty clear when life begins. It begins at conception. And so I'm thinking incredibly so, and more, that we are at a point in our culture that we're going to see a very different approach. I don't know that we will ban it completely, although I think the key to doing that is not as much the heartbeat, though that's a great step, but it's declaring personhood. If we can ever get to the place where we can recognize that the unborn child is a person. And the reason that that becomes so important is because under personhood, the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendment guarantee due process before you can deprive somebody of life or liberty. Well, abortion certainly deprives someone of life and liberty. And so I have argued for a long time, let's ultimately get the battle to a point of personhood.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, the law that is being proposed in Texas came into effect on September 1st of this year, and it is the first six-week abortion ban in the U.S. and the first of its kind to rely on enforcement by private individuals through civil lawsuits rather than by the government through criminal or civil enforcement. And so with the Supreme Court the way it is, it seems as though there's been some waffling on behalf of some of the conservative justices in regards to some of the more conservative values that have been presented to them. Do you feel like they're going to give it a fair shake when it gets to their hearing?
You know, I'd like to think so. I can't tell you how disappointed I've been in the Supreme Court through the years and people that we thought were going to be solid conservative and be constitutionalists turned out to be anything but. So it's hard to know what they'll do. They're very unpredictable. But deep down, I want to believe, Pete, that we're at a point where we're going to see some people accept responsibility for their jobs and take this seriously and do the right thing. I certainly hope so.
Okay, we're going to come back with our final segment with Governor Mike Huckabee and talk about some other things that I think you might be interested in. He's going to be up here in Traverse City on Monday night for the annual Focus on Life benefit dinner for the Grand Traverse Area Right to Life. Back with Governor Mike Huckabee in just a few moments. Thanks for joining me. Back with Mike Huckabee on the phone this morning. We appreciate your joining us today, Mike. It's been nice to be able to get some stuff from you that is pertaining to our coming annual benefit dinner for the Grand Traverse Area Right to Life. Your perspective is valued. And, you know, you've seen a lot of America. You've seen it from the position as a governor in Arkansas, also as a candidate for president and a Fox News contributor. You've seen a lot of this. Do you feel that the way that that America is going, that there's hope for us as a country and as a people?
Pete, I always think there's hope because hope is not in my hands, it's in God's, and there's nothing he can't do. I don't think there's hope apart from a divine intervention. I see things I never thought I would see. The radicalization of our schools and government, crazy policies being proposed that we can just give things away and nobody has to pay for them. Critical race theory, Marxism, which is very divisive and incredibly hurtful to a constitutional republic. There are a lot of challenges we face, but here's part of the hope I find. In local school boards across America, people are showing up, speaking up, and saying they're not going to put up with more of the nonsense. And those are encouraging signs. I see people who are willing to run for public office that 5 years ago wouldn't have considered it, but they understand now that our government, our future, depends upon sane and thoughtful people getting involved in the process. So, yes, I think the left has pushed too far. They've overreached. People now understand what their real game is, and they don't want to destroy America. They don't want people who hate America to be in charge of the country.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be speaking to a little slice of America on Monday night. You're going to be speaking to people who understand the sanctity of human life. You're going to speak to people who understand the Judeo-Christian ethic that our nation was born under. How are you going to convey a new idea or another way to describe the sanctity of life in your message without giving it away?
Well, I think the main thing I'm going to focus on is that as Christian believers, we have to accept that every human life has worth and value that comes from God. Our value is not determined by the government or even by a doctor. It's determined by the creator of life. And that single commitment on our part changes everything. And so I'll base my message on that. And I am convinced that we are in a position where we're making strides. It is so much better than it ever was. And I think we're going to win this argument eventually.
Yeah, that is very encouraging. And we trust what you're saying because you've been through a lot of experiences in public as a public figure, as a leader, as an author, and as a pastor. Those are words that come from an experienced man, and we appreciate you so very much. I understand that you have little roots in radio. Is that true?
Very true. My first job was at KXAR Radio in Hope, Arkansas, at the ripe old 14.
14, huh?
14th birthday. I worked all through junior high school, college, and grad school doing radio. What gave me an education? I'm the first male in my family. As far back as the 1600s that ever graduated high school, I went to college, and radio was what gave me opportunity.
Well, I am excited about that.
So, yeah.
That's
and
great.
If you want to buy them, I'll sell them to you, Pete. So
there you go.
But, you know, I've been in radio one way or the other most of my adult life, and very, very important to me.
Absolutely. And best of wishes to your daughter, Sarah, who is running for governor in Arkansas. How's that campaign doing?
It's great. She is well ahead in the polls, but she knows not to take that for granted and to work as hard can be. There's an old politician in Arkansas that used to say, and I totally agree, there's only two ways to run, unopposed or scared.
Well, I hope that you enjoy your grandchildren, because I know I enjoy mine. And if you get a chance today, give them a big hug. And I appreciate you being willing to come up here, Mike, and encourage us as people who believe that the child in the womb is viable and is a real person, and that you're going to give us some information that maybe we don't understand or have never heard of, so that we're going to anticipate your message coming up on Monday night. Thank you so much for letting us talk to you this morning as well.
It has been a pleasure, Pete. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless.